Hebrews chapter 11, one of the characters of the Bible, Moses, is introduced to us in that particular book in a number of verses. Perhaps the most numerous verses that are found in that book called Hebrews chapter 11 deal with the subject of Moses, beginning in the 23rd verse. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Moses is the last one of the major characters that is summoned here in Hebrews chapter 11 in full description. And the point is well made that these all by faith. Their obedient faith, you note, because obviously, as it mentions here about the walls of Jericho, how they were compassed about 7 days and fell down. The idea of this being the fact that God was with them as they obeyed his word. As we obey the word of God today, what do we find as blessings for our lives? And what lessons can we find from Moses here that will tell us that we're people who are blessed of God? Number one is, do we live a life of an obedient faith? I mean, the point is well made here over and over again. By faith, Moses was one who set himself up to serve the cause of God. And in regard to that particular matter, he did serve faithfully the cause of God. Let's go back and take a look at the situation that occurred in Deuteronomy in the midst of Moses' description of what he had done in all of these years since God had called him in the land of Midian. It is the case now that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he describes a situation that is going to come for you and for me today. He describes that situation in these words, Deuteronomy 18 and 15. And the Lord your God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that ye desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet that shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to be him to speak, and that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. The circumstance is of full measure. We talk about obeying the Lord, following his will. The proof is in the pudding. It's the rubber meeting the road. It is factually obeying the voice of the Lord. The Lord God anticipated and expected that the people would hear the prophet and as a result obey his word, because his word, the prophet's word, was actually the word of the Heavenly Father himself. I will send that prophet. I will raise up that prophet from among you, he said. And in regard to that period of time, Moses, of course, followed by Joshua, later on down the stream of time, followed by the Christ. As a result, the prophet of God, speaking the word of the Lord, was speaking words that the Heavenly Father wanted to be obeyed. As a result of this, we learn from Moses in his life that he had a righteous way of looking at that subject of faith. He believed God sufficiently that he was obedient to where God spoke unto him to go, unto him to say, and the deeds for him to do. As a result, Moses became a faithful man of God and was held up in highest esteem because of his way of life. We know that Moses was not a perfect individual. Going back to the book of Exodus in chapter 2, we recognize Moses in the time of his call and the great excuses that he began to make for going back into the land of Egypt. Perhaps fearful of the king's wrath upon him, the Hebrew letter says that he wasn't afraid of the king. But the idea was that back there he didn't wish to go without excuse being offered. He said he couldn't speak, he couldn't do this, that, or the other, he couldn't be this kind of person, and so forth and so on. The truth of the matter was, the Lord answered every excuse that he gave, telling him that his brother would be going with him and Aaron would speak for him, and telling him the various name, I am, as didn't you? As a result of this, Moses could speak authoritatively about it and know that the Lord God was with him all the while. Moses attached to people the idea that if they did not listen and obey the voice of the prophet of God, they would find themselves hurt of God, punished of God, not received by God, rejected of God. And so as a result, Moses is a great example of what real faith is about. And number two, Moses in his life was one who made that decision. The guidance of the Spirit of God was not of such nature that it overwhelmed Moses and that he could only speak what he was told to speak. Moses realized that he had the power to say no to God. He had the power to say no to the people around him. He had the power to say no in regard to his own obedience to the Lord. But because of his great love for God and his great faith in God, he was willing to obey the Lord and prove him that he would be with him and follow with him in every faithful way. And that is exactly what Moses then did. He is a great and a grand example for you and for me. The Apostle Paul addresses the thought in regard to this matter in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and speaks in regard to Moses and of how Moses obeyed the word of the Lord and Moses heard the word of the Lord, and how that we're to follow today the words of God, because as Moses followed the words of the Lord and was blessed of God, so can we today find that same blessing. The book of Hebrews is referenced to Moses. The writing in 2 Corinthians 3 cites Moses. And lo and behold, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, in Luke chapter 24, what did he do with those disciples that saw him and they were amazed with the fact that he was there? It is said that he opened their understanding of the scriptures, of all the things that were spoken, of the law of Moses, of the prophets, and of the Psalms. Moses, the law of Moses, was the law of God. As we've read back here in Deuteronomy 18, the word that he spoke was the word of God. And the prophet coming after him would speak the word of God. And as Jesus came and said, I'm speaking not my own words, but the word which God gave me. In John 12 and 49, these are the words that the Father commanded. Then we would do well today to heed to the message that is applied to you and to me. And that message for you and me is to be a person who follows the way of the Lord. honor his law and honor his will toward our fellow man, toward our family, toward one another, in the church, in the ideals of the Lord. Moses is the example. We too can make a decision like Moses. We can decide to be disobedient to the commands of God. The Lord does not rule over us in such a way that we are obligated to and have to, and he's going to see to it that we do obey him. To the contrary, he wants us to obey him. He loves us, but he wants us to be obedient to his will by our volition. And as a result, Moses back here was one who saw that faith. He was obedient to it. But secondly, he was one who could have chosen not to obey. He was one who could have chosen to resist. And that was circumstances whereby he did resist. In Exodus 2, when he began this work, he began to resist by offering excuses that were answered by God. Later on at Kadesh Barnea, he was one who said, "We must fetch you rebels water." And took, the Lord said, credit to himself for the miracle that was done there at Kadesh Barnea. It is the case that the Lord did not allow him to go into the promised land because of that, and showed him the great promised land and all the bounty that would be there, but would not let him go into that promised land. We see that he did suffer things then at the hand of God for his disobedience to the Lord's way. We do see, of course, his example here in Hebrews 11 and the citing of his faithful example in following the Lord's way and will. We find that in that example he is credited. We find in Matthew chapter 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration, there is Moses as well as Elijah transfigured with the Christ. Peter says, "It's good that we're here. We'll make one tabernacle for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And the Father from heaven spoke one of his two times during his son's time on earth, saying, "This is my son, hear ye him." Jesus did not give them authority to build a tabernacle, a house of worship unto Moses. Great as he was and as important as he was, he was not permitted to build a house unto Moses, nor unto Elijah. The idea is that he was to build the house that the Lord Jesus himself said he would build. And what did Jesus tell Simon Peter in Matthew 16 and verse 18? "Upon this great confession you've made, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He was a man who was obedient to the Lord's will and Lord's way as he followed along that way that was righteous. He left that message to tell us we should be people who honor the Lord's will, and when we mess up, when we disobey, we should recognize that the Lord is not with us, the Lord is not for us, and we need to repent of that matter. In Acts chapter 8, we find an example of a good disciple named Simon. He was a man who made his living by a false way of magician. He was a sorcerer, it says. As a result of this, he had powers that the people thought that he was one great man. Reading there in Acts chapter 8, we read about his life, and we read that he was stunned when he saw Peter and John and James, the apostles of the Lord, come from Jerusalem to lay hands upon these disciples, that they might be imparted with powers of the Holy Spirit. And since they were similar to the feats that he had done in his sorcery work, he thought, "Now I see the real deal. And I'll offer them money." You see, he had made a good bit of money from what he had done. And as a result now, he would offer them money to buy the power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't want the miracle working power per se. He was getting enough recognition from what he was doing in a falsified way. But he wanted the power to lay hands upon people and be the big one, sure enough, who gave them that miracle-working power. Simon Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee. First you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of thy heart may be forgiven thee. This is why I say he was a good man. Instead of quibbling about it and saying, well, you know, I made an honest mistake here, and anybody recognize the background I came from and everything, I wanted to have a little higher power here and everything, and anybody could understand the temptation I'm under and everything. What do you mean I need to repent and pray God's forgiveness? He didn't quibble about it. He immediately responded to him. He didn't quibble in response. Rather, he immediately said, pray the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me. You remember Peter had said, thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bad things are coming. I don't know what the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity exactly is. But I know that Simon did. And Simon didn't want to have any part at all in what Peter told him was coming. Pray you to the Lord for me that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me, he said. And as a result of that, he came back to the way of the Lord. What did Moses do at the time in which he violated the Lord's will there at Kadesh? And the time that the Lord would not allow him to go to the promised land. And here he is, he appears as an example in Peter's words in Matthew 17. Build a tabernacle unto him. Thought so highly of. And in Hebrews chapter 11 is one of the examples of what it really means to live by faith and obedience to God. How are these things changed out? How do we see him coming from heaven along with Elijah? Should we not draw the proper conclusion that he made things right with the Lord? Not allowed to go in the promised land, but he made things right with the Lord. Otherwise, I don't believe he'd have been there in the New Testament as an example of faith and an example of a person worthy to have a tabernacle built unto him, nor that he came back from the heavenly realm in transfiguration with Christ. But the idea being, in my mind, is that he made things right with the Lord. How would he make things right back there in that Old Testament system with the Lord? An animal sacrifice to be offered for his sins, a prayer of oblation to be done for his forgiveness. The Lord accepted him, and the Lord held him up as an example to you and me of what it means to live in that faith and overcome the rejections that we have of God. If we find ourselves disobeying God, that doesn't mean that we should live continually in that, that we should never make things right with the Lord. And Simon is a great example of that very truth there in Acts 8. He didn't want these terrible things to come upon him. He wanted others to pray for him. He wanted to repent and pray that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. So in the second place, when we find that there were troubles and problems in the life of Moses, he was a man who was obedient yet to the Lord. He was a man who was thereby blessed of the Lord. And is held up for you and me as a great example. Though we know, as we read the Old Testament of our Bible, that he was a man who was disobedient to the Lord's way. And the Lord blamed him highly and mightily because of his taking authority on himself. The Lord said, you blasphemed me among the people. You spoke despitefully of me. When you said at Kadesh, must we, Aaron and I, must we fetch you water? You know, when we think about the good things of Moses' life and example, number three, we think about where he is now. Lifestyle is not based upon what we have done, where we have been, what we did once upon a time. Lifestyle with God is based upon how we've left this earth and the relationship that we had with him at the end of life's little day. Think about that little day that we're in. There are a lot of things about life, words been said, thoughts that have been through our minds and plans and activities that have been done that were not of God. It would do us well to reiterate some certain things that the Bible calls the sins of the flesh. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And some might say, yep, that's me. I was there. I once was there. For you and me, however, there are many other things that the Lord has said that need to be obedient. For example, in Romans 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. If we go out here and we do personal work in the name of the Lord, we just don't believe it's going to do any good. We don't believe anybody's going to respond. We don't believe there's any soul going to be reached by this. We don't believe there's any addition to the church that's ever going to happen from this. What kind of faith are we showing? In the first part of our study, we noted that Moses had a faith that was an obedient faith. Did the Lord say go? Did the Lord say invite? Did the Lord say teach? Did the Lord say bring them in? Did the Lord say? Yes, he did. What should I do if I follow the example of Moses in faith and obedience? Let me go. Let me invite. Let me tell the story. Let me invite. Let's be a part of things together. Number two, if I make mistakes and I've done terrible things against the way of God, do I have to live in those things? Do I have to be that example to the general public around me? Or can I say I'm truly sorry about this? I pray the Lord's forgiveness of the thought and intent of my heart, just like Simon did in Acts 8. Now then, this third point. Life's little day we're in. What part of that day does the Lord say in his word he brings up at the judgment? This didn't come about just because you said in your generation, well, let me see how many Bibles I can have on the coffee table and in the bedroom and in the closet. This came about because of men who went by night in England, before you ever saw these English pages, and translated the scripture into English. And at that time, he opposed the church leaders of his day who didn't want people reading in the English language, the Bible. And so William Tyndale was so well thought of that